You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, and today we have Canadian author with us, Clarissa Smith. So welcome, Clarissa. And we also have her sister, Geraldine. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Now, Clarissa Smith, you're the author of the book Broken Wings, and I read the book, couldn't really put it down, and just an amazing story, and it's a story that has a happy ending, so we like that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you came to write the book.
Well, I'll say I wrote my book for four reasons before I get into telling you the rest about it.
Okay.
The first reason was to heal my spirit. The second reason was to keep my mother's spirit alive, because when she died, she had pleaded with me to make sure that all the family would remember her afterwards, my brothers, my sister. And I needed to tell about her life and the hardship she has as a woman growing up on Lower North Shore and raising her family, and then, of course, having to succumb to death and so on. Now, the third reason was for my brothers and my sister, so they would know who she was and what our life was like growing up, because we all lived in different communities. After our home broke up and the welfare came in and took us, I took all of the little ones and put them into foster homes. So they lived in various places along the coast, from Labrador up to Arrington Harbor. So they were placed in different foster homes. Now, the fourth reason, as I mentioned just earlier before we start doing this, if you read my book, and if there's other people out there that read my story, it's not for to get pity for me, or it's to see that we have survived, we can survive, but sometimes out there that human beings or our neighbors or our friends or whatever in communities have a tendency to turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. If something is happening in the community, you may have a family that's the children is neglected and forgotten, like us. We were, as far as I was concerned, we were forgotten. I was angry for many years because we were, like I said in my book, like we were forgotten, like rats on a sinking ship. Mm-hmm. And it took, almost 2 years later before someone really came to our rescue and took us out of the environment. Very tough, very tough. We didn't have no very little food. When I say very little food, we could go for days probably living on a loaf of bread, because I had a aunt and uncle that was next door to us, which was my father's sister and her husband Willie, which was my mother's first cousin. So in that village where we lived, everybody was related to each other. Now, everyone took care of their own families. There wasn't a lot of food, not just for our family, a lot of other people as well. They worked hard, long hours in summertime, fishing, and wintertime hunting and trapping, and then winters were harsh down on the Lower North Shore. It still is. I just come from a winter down there, and I'm saying this is my last winter over there on that isolated peninsula. And when I say isolation, we're still isolated over there. Now, when I first came up here to Quaticook, where I was sent after our home broke up, I went to a boarding school called Bishop Mountain Hall. It was a wonderful place to go. I will say I have wonderful things to say about it. But being down on the Lower North Shore, most people didn't know we existed. Also, any part of Quebec, anywhere else, there was a lot of hardships way back then. But we were so isolated, most people didn't know anything about us.
Okay, so the book takes place relatively then on the Lower North Shore.
Lower North
Canada.
Shore is Brador mm-hmm. Bay, where I was born, 1947. And I was 11 years old when my mother got ill. She died when I was 14. She had breast cancer. And there was 10 of us in the family. I being the oldest daughter, I have two oldest brothers that's older than me, Parmenas and Ronald. And they were a great help to me, even though I was the one that was responsible for the family. She made that so when she died, but of course that was natural. Most girls my age would have to take care of their older, younger siblings. So.
Okay, so the Bishop Mountain Hall, I guess it was called back then. I think now it's a museum, the Boleyn Museum.
Oh, it is. I just arrived back, a month ago I arrived here, and of course I couldn't wait to go in and see it again. I've seen it a few years back, but this time I want to take a tour of it and reconnect, because my second story, which is a sequel to Broken Wings, is going to be called My Journey. And my journey begins in Bishop Mountain Hall, at Bishop Mountain Hall. It's a museum now. They have the architecture, everything into the building is the same as it was before. A lot of things is not there like I remember it, mm-hmm. but still the feeling is there in the home. It was a beautiful place. One of the other reasons I wanted to start my journey here, because over the years I had heard so much about and witnessed so much about, you know, children being molested and things in other homes, and the terrible thing, the cash and orphanage in Newfoundland and so on, and so much all across the country and mm-hmm. Canada and United States, doesn't matter. It's just when a child is suffering, a child suffers. So, but I must say about this home that we went to, we were loved. I'll put it that way. There was two women that ran the home at that time, mm-hmm. and it was donated by the Anglican Church. I haven't got the complete history yet because I'm waiting for to get into the archives. And but I do know it was named after a Bishop Mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which one yet. It could be Jacob. But when this home was for girls, I think first in the beginning it might have been a asylum for girls, but after mm-hmm. was a orphanage for girls. But in there, we were really protected, I must say. What I remember is about Miss Muriel Carter, mm-hmm. who was the matron, head matron at that time. Oh, my goodness, you wouldn't get past the door. No one would get past the door with her.
Definitely Broken Wings, then, your book. There's no fiction in it. It's your life. It's definitely nonfiction. Is that
no,
correct?
Absolutely not. Everything in my book is true. A lot of people had, not a lot of people, but some of the people who recognized themselves in the book had some controversy with it first when it came out. But now, finally, they're seeing it as it is, and that's mm-hmm. my story. If they have something that's different, that they can write mm-hmm. or whatever they want, but my story is true. People ask me, why would you want to go back? You had so much... misery back on a long shore.
Okay, so right now you're living
Actually, I closed my real estate office in Hanikanish, Nova Scotia.
And you were in Nova Scotia for
24 years.
24
I
years.
Scotia. About 14 years I was a real estate mm-hmm. A realtor and a broker. Mm-hmm. So I closed it all to go back home. I needed to go back home and reconnect with my roots. So not that I haven't gone home over there. Over the years, I probably went home 100 times, maybe, from the time I left at 16 until now.
Okay.
Or not now, I was 59 when I went home. So all those years, I kept going back. So mm-hmm. And I've connected always with my brothers and my sisters. So.
And you come from a large family. You have one sister, Geraldine,
yeah,
and how many
eight
brothers?
Eight brothers. Yeah.
Okay, so there was almost a baby every year then, I guess.
Yeah, well, there were stepping stones, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're all probably only... 13 months to 16 months apart, and all down on the Lower North Shore, most families have large families.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, it's not just us, it was...
No, it was the norm back
yes,
then.
Yes, especially
on the North Shore. So your mother died, you said, when you were 14, but even before that, you were...
Yes,
taking over.
She was ill, over the years when she had her babies and that, she was in head of the hospital. We had a local hospital there, and... Well, when she went into the hospital, of course, I would have to take care of the children. There was no such thing as someone coming in, a maid coming in, or anything like mm-hmm. that. The oldest people, and I'm sure if I wasn't the oldest girl, it would have been my brothers, two oldest brothers that would have took care of the children. So, you see, it's because I'm the oldest girl. So,
mm-hmm.
And I was very young when I started taking care of my brother and sister. I probably was only about 8 years old. And I didn't go to school a lot when my mother was ill. I'm not saying that I didn't go to school all during 1 year or something. What I remember is back, and try to recollect the full year that I went to school. I think I might have been grade 3 was the last time I really went to school for the whole year. And after that, maybe one day here and one day there and maybe a month all year. And then when I was 16 and I requested to go back to school and they sent me to Quantico, I jumped from grade 3 to grade 7.
It's amazing.
So that's a story in itself. I got to tell you, it's to be 16 in class, grade 7, with 11 and 12 year olds, mm-hmm. and I've already lived an adult life.
Mm-hmm.
It was something else. It was an experience, and I must say I come away with a lot of good memories from Quantico.
That's wonderful. I'm really glad about that. Definitely Broken Wings, everything I've read in there, it's just, you tell about so much abuse, you know, child abuse, the abandonment, the alcoholism, different things like that.
Well, it was a painful story to write. Really, very painful, but it took me 10 years to write my story.
Okay.
But once I got it out, I needed then to take it to another level. And a lot of people say, well, how could you write it all? Because I've been keeping journals since I was 12 years old. Okay. And that's how I would deal with things, is to write it all down. You know, I'd come out in my stories or writing poetry or whatever, but... Mm-hmm. But I feel good that I've finally done it. I feel I have accomplished something, and that, and I've probably, I feel one thing that I've promised my mother, that we would never forget her.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I think I've accomplished that, and I feel proud of that.
You know? Good. And it's amazing you've forgiven both your mother and your father.
Mm, yeah.
And that's an amazing feat to do. I think most of us can't forgive our mothers and fathers for
With my mother, she was a woman like everybody else. And I hope in my story, because I wrote it through my trial eyes, my trial pain, I didn't see it when I grew up as a woman. I saw her through my woman eyes. And mm-hmm. my mother was no different from any other woman. And in her life, she had too much hell to deal with. Mm-hmm. And she should never have went through what she went through.
I think when we read it, too, you know, it's good, because it brings us to realize that there is so much abuse going on, not just back then, not just in
children,
the North Shore,
the women
but
too
everywhere.
Were abused,
yeah.
You see, so.
Definitely the women were abused. There's animal abuse in there, too.
Yeah.
There's so much, you know, such definitely the theme
so this,
is survival.
This is one of the other things too, Maureen, why I wrote my story. And since then, I feel that there's so many children still here in Canada yet. Like, God love every child all over the world. I'm glad someone is protecting them. But sometimes I think someone needs to protect our children in our backyard. And what I'm saying, this is why last but not least, that if you read my book and there's someone out there that's suffering similar to what I'm done, and you find that they're abandoned or left alone and they haven't got no food and no clothes and no one is there, I would hope that you or someone else would step in and help those children. If I help one child, it will be worth everything.
Definitely one person can make a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
I think what you're saying, too, it takes a community to raise
a
child.
Yes, it does. It does,
and if
absolutely.
It hadn't been for some members of the community, you wouldn't have survived.
Absolutely, But now in our community, that was all my mother's relatives, and there was only 8 families. We live on an island, and then we moved in what we call the bottom of the bay in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. There was only 8 families underneath the hill, including the school.
Okay.
So they were all family members, mm-hmm. cousins, aunts, mm-hmm. uncles, and mm-hmm. you know. So everyone was struggling, I guess, in the same way. But what my story, I wrote it through my eyes, what I felt, what I went through, what she went through, my mother. So anyone else would probably went through a lot of similar things. It's amazing, since my book came out, how many women all up and down the coast, from Kagaska right down to Blanc-de-Blanc under Labrador, that came to me and said, I walked in your shoes. So, and thank you for writing my story. Mm-hmm. And that alone, I felt then that I was not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good about that.
That's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Definitely
so
helping to heal your
spirit. I feel that sometimes women have a tendency years ago, women would stay behind the scenes and never hush hush, have everything hush hush, including then not listening to their children like me,
mm-hmm.
My mother, and probably everyone else. And children had to be seen and not heard, and things were let go because of the abuse that happened in their child before. Because someone asked me why I would forgive my mother and father. But I never knew what their life was like. God, they must have had a hell of a life before we ever come up on her. So I have to look at it that way. It's not about forgiving them. It's about walking in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Okay, definitely. And there's still a lot of women that won't say things that it's going on.
And a lot of people, women at my age, have come to me and said, I'm going to carry this to my grave, or my children won't know about it until after I'm then gone. Which I said, get your pain out now. You have a right to be heard. You have a right to feel that you're worthy of everything.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So the title of the book, Broken Wings, tell us about that.
Well, the reason why I call it Broken Wings, I had two or three other names mm-hmm. for it, and but then I kept going back to Broken Wings. At first, Broken Wings is about me, in a sense that after everything was said and done, that I felt like I was a bird with a broken wing. I had a nun that lived in the hospital that told me I was a bird, like broken wing, that mm-hmm. God was there to protect me and so on. Mm-hmm. But then it was my mother. I saw my mother as a bird with broken wing because she was so helpless in the terrible thing that which she went through. And then the other part of the book, the reason why I call it Broken Wings, because I talked about the birds we had to kill in heat, right. and I mm-hmm. had to kill those little birds with broken wings. So that in itself was... Now, I haven't said we had to eat snowbirds. There was a lot of families during the year of winter, they would have to eat snowbirds as too if they ran out of meat and things like that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was my brother that killed him, and I couldn't, I did it, but I couldn't clean them afterwards because I felt, oh my gosh, what have I done? Killed God's mm-hmm. little bird. But anyway, it like, helped us yeah. survive.
Definitely you
and
saw
snowbirds
so
is only
things,
about yeah. 2 inches long. You know, mm-hmm. and that's it. But a lot of families along that coast that said to me too, they have eaten snowbirds as well.
Definitely.
And I know they make a good stew.
You saw so many incredible things that a child shouldn't see.
That's
and
true.
Do you think that writing the book has helped you to?
I think is helped a lot of women my age and a lot of other people, even young people that come to me and has talked to me about my life and says, well, I appreciate my mother and father so much now that, mm-hmm. you know, all the things that have happened. And yes, I think that our children, like my children, my sister's children, all my brothers and sisters, and all every one of our cousins and everything, all should know about our life back there, our parents' life back then, because that's only 50 years ago. That's
it
only
is,
50
yeah.
years ago. I mm-hmm. mean, we went, it's only about, what do you say, about 15 years ago that probably into Bachelor had running water. Mm-hmm. I think it was into Bachelor, right? It's, I knew there was a story into the Montreal, mm-hmm. I don't know if the Gazette, but Globe and Mail.
Okay.
And it was all about then. There was no running water. So, you know, like it seems like that it was a poverty on the shoreline all those years, and that's what happened, Forgotten Shore. Mm-hmm. That's what it was called in the paper, was Forgotten Shore.
Definitely a yeah. lot of poverty, a lot of yeah. abuse. And you have one sister? You said you had eight brothers?
I have
brothers.
One sister, yeah. And I have eight brothers. But we lost one brother about 8 years after our mother died.
Okay.
He drowned. And but they're all alive, and they're living their lives. They've all had different traumas in their lives and different hardships, but they rose above it all, just like me. Mm-hmm. And they have their own story to tell and so on. But
how do you do that? Do you think you become more spiritual after everything that's happened? Or
well,
less spiritual?
I don't know if, yeah, I'm close to nature, and I'm also close to, I believe, there's a God out there and so on. But at the same time, I remember there's a piece in the Bible or a little phrase in the Bible that says God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I became stronger. That's what I became, and dealt with any other hardships in my life. Yes, I've become stronger. I would hope that from it that I think I can face anything. I think I can. And mm-hmm. I have, you know, there's mm-hmm. another story beyond the story beyond the story. But still, at the same time, I think when anyone goes through hardships, like now, like my family, my brothers and my sister and I, if we were suddenly, we didn't have running water anymore, and we didn't have electricity, and mm-hmm. We could survive. Mm-hmm. We know how to survive in the wilderness. Now our children, if we over, like most people, who their children... we protect our children, we give them everything, and of course I've taught my children how to survive in the wilderness, but there's a lot of children that if they can't turn on the lights and they can't take a bath,
that's right,
and they can't run to the store and buy something, mm-hmm. then they're panicky.
Yeah, a lot
but,
of people, unfortunately.
I would think our children is not. Our way of life down on the shore right now is still not too far away from, except we got running water and electricity. Now, we're still isolated down there. Mm-hmm. I've just lived almost 6 years on the coast right now, and I'm starting to feel the isolation again.
Mm-hmm.
I went back home, and I built a little property, a little house right on the shoreline where all our hill was and mm-hmm. Our last home and so mm-hmm. on. And I did that because I needed to deal with the past. And then I felt, well, I'm on the coast because I loved all that freeness, that freedom, and the fresh air, and the whales, and the puffin, and the, and it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. And everyone that's ever went down to the Lower North Shore has come away with something, and keep going back because there is something there.
So even in all the hardships, you find beauty, and that's evident.
The wind can blow for 33 days straight, and we could have hell of a snowstorm in the wintertime. And we could be isolated and trapped in our houses for days.
Right.
But when that sun comes out and when the spring comes and the duck flies, and then we feel alive again. And it's all a part of the sea. And that's really why I went back. It's because of this the nature. And, of course, my family, they're there. But a lot of the family live away. And but still, the connection is there.
Good. So some of the family stayed?
I have my brother Raymond lives in Fort Ole. My youngest brother, James, who you read about my book, he was only a year and a half when my mother died. He lives in Lanceloo. Ronald and Clyde lives in Long Point.
Okay.
And that's just near Brattle Bay. Of course, Brattle Bay is under the municipality of Lanceloo-Blanc right now. Mm-hmm. And my sister that's here with me, she just arrived back from Saskatoon. She's going home. And she's going back for the first time in how many years, Geraldine? 24 years. So she grew up in Chevry with my mother's only sister, Aunt Dot, and she and I are the only sisters in our family as well. So she grew up with my Aunt Dot in Chevry, and she again, like most, as she'll tell you, everyone down lower on our shore usually go away for work, and that's what she did as well. And her family is all three of her daughters are right here in the Eastern Townships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying with her daughter Daphne at the moment, and it's so nice just to see them all again. So she's arrived back almost the same time as me. She was out west for a while, so it's good to be here and be with them.
It's good to have you here too. So you were about 14 when you left the North Shore. Now was it your uncle Willie?
I was 16
Willie,
when my mother died. I was 14.
Okay.
She died October 9th, 1961. And then for a year and a half, I struggled with the family, trying to keep us...
And you went into kind of a depression, too, I guess.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of things that you read in the back of my book,
Reason
Why.
Yeah, it was just the balance.
It was too much.
Couldn't take it.
I stayed in the hospital for 10 months, and after 2 or 3 months, I got around to myself. And then, of course, I was told I had been given a choice what I wanted to do. I was too old to go into a foster home, and I was too rebellious, and I hated the world at that time, and hated everything and everything around me, and I fought my tooth and nail. But I overcame all that, and when I was given a choice, I said, I want to go back to school. And I didn't know that I was going to go back to come up here. I thought just maybe I was sent somewhere else to go to school, but I was sent to the Eastern Township because I was an orphanage for girls for Bishop Mountain Hall. I was sent there, and I got to tell you, it was like taking me out of so much isolation and putting me into this mansion. It was just like I have waken up from a deep sleep of like a princess.
It must have been kind of a culture shock,
too. Oh, my goodness. It was something else. It was... I was so in love with this place. It was so all that architecture and all those beautiful people around me, and there was no hate and animosity, and I felt myself wanting to be alive again, I guess.
That's wonderful. That so it wasn't surreal for you. You adapted really well to all that. That's wonderful.
It was an amazing journey, and that's where my journey began. Then in my second story, that's what I'll talk about. It'll start from there.
And you had a choice, too. When I read in the book there, you... someone wanted to marry you, you were very insistent. You wanted to go back to school.
Absolutely.
So that's wonderful.
I mean, back there in those days, they would set you up with your cousins to marry, and that happened to be my first cousin. And my cousin to me is like my brothers. And absolutely not. Not like, no. But there's a lot of cousins right in my hometown, in my village right now. They're married to their cousins, first cousin. Mm-hmm. When I say cousin, I mean first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like my brothers, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, after coming out of a broken home and getting married and having children, no, absolutely not.
And yet you did get married. I did, you had children, so that's...
I did, but at that time, yeah, you know,
exactly,
I was 16.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
But the fact that you were able to have children at all, I don't know how I accomplished that
because I...
I'm surprised that you weren't just really set against
having
children.
I'm surprised I ever lived with any man mm-hmm. or got mm-hmm. married or mm-hmm. having children. Well, of course, it probably came naturally to me like when I blossomed and so on, like mm-hmm. any other young mother wanting to have babies and so on, I suppose. But that, too, was a painful journey. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to forgive your father?
Oh, it took me many years. When I was 37, it was then. When I go back home, I used to go back and visit my brothers and my sister. And very seldom I had any contact with my father. I just didn't want to be around my father. But when I was in my 30s and I had to come full circle with everything, and when I wrote my story, I realized then I have to go back and take my father back into my life in order to go on with mine.
Okay.
Because with all
mm-hmm.
this that affected my life, my marriage life, my children's life,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go on. Not that I had forgiven him, but I needed to set some balance in my life. And in my second book, you will hear about how my father and I became comfortable with each other. I never asked him, why did you abandon us? I just went with the flow
mm-hmm.
and allowed him back into my life. And Todd, what am I going to accomplish? He's not going to ever tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
He will tell you, if he was standing here in front of you today, he will say, well, I had to go out and feed the children. I had to go out in the country. But he didn't have to go on to Labrador and not come back for months. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yes, going in the country, getting food and things like that, that's another story. But it was me he left everything to. So that's where my bitterness was, and not so much that my mother died. God love her. I wish she was alive. But still, at the same time, to forgive him, I don't know if I forgive him. I don't think I'll ever forgive him. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting on with my life, Tiff.
And you
accepting
have.
Yeah. that it was. And
amazing.
I can't change the past. You can't do anything about it. So why always live there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to come out. That's why when I wrote my story, now I feel like I'm on this side instead of way down there. Because there's so many said to me, your story is my story. And
that's
now
such
I feel
a nice
that I'm
feeling.
Not alone
yeah.
anymore.
It's such yeah. a nice feeling for you that you've accomplished
it, gosh,
that.
Yes, yes.
That
yes.
you've brought so much awareness and
yes.
that you're not alone.
Yes.
And maybe
and
it will help
about
other
it,
people.
People have said to me, how could you talk about it? Well, that's the whole thing. If I went in my did my story and I lied and I didn't tell the whole truth, what was the point of writing a story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about anything else. It's about reality. So people could have a reality check what life was like down on the Lorinar Shore. Not just for me and my family, but everybody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that things have changed. And I know it has changed because there's a lot of things now taking place.
And books like this help change, too.
Yes.
Kind of response have you gotten back
from tremendous book? Response. It's over 10,000 copies have sold now.
That's wonderful.
All up and down the Lower North Shore. I've sold 3,000 copies alone. And
mm-hmm.
Newfoundland, it's like, even though I say the Quebec Labrador Coast, because my father was from Lanticleer and my mother was from Brador,
mm-hmm.
all of Newfoundland loves my book because they feel that I'm a part of them. And no matter where I go, they just, they know about Broken Wings, and they just, you know, it's all inspiring. It
definitely is. Connected a lot of people
oh, yes.
and brought a lot
yeah,
of issues.
Because yeah, yeah. Newfoundland, Quebec, Lower North Shore, and Labrador, we all had that similar life.
Mm-hmm.
We all drove dog teams. We all had to go and we eat wild ducks. We never had store-bought eggs. There was no such thing as store-bought eggs.
Mm-hmm.
The eggs we ate, our fathers went out in the spring of the year and got the duck's eggs.
Okay.
And we made cakes without eggs. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, there was no such thing as eggs. So
definitely a survivor, Clarissa Smith. Excellent.
Yeah.
So it took you quite a long time to write the book because
yes,
you gave up on it a while?
Yes, it took me 10 years. When I would start it, and then I would get it so emotionally distressed that
mm-hmm.
I would have to get away from it and go back to it because it was too painful. And
right.
then finally, when I got it all out, and then I had to go back and edit it, it took me a long time to edit it. And I think when my book was finished, I had it headed to death because I needed to have it just the way it was supposed to be, you know. So,
did you ever think when you were a child that you would be putting out a book?
No, actually not. But that picture you see on the cover,
mm-hmm.
that's the beginning of why it was prompt me. This picture on the cover, when I was 16, the first year I lived there in Bishop Mountain Hall, I went to visit my father's sister, which is his last surviving relative now, Aunt Jessie. Mm-hmm. She lived in Montreal, and I went to spend, not Christmas with her, but I went to see her after Christmas Day.
Okay.
I spent his family, went on our family Christmas Day. And she said, I got something for you. So this is what she gave me, was this picture of me and my two brothers. And inside the cover with my mother, that was a picture of my mother. She took those pictures. And it was such an amazing thing. The first reading I had down in the Lighthouse in Point of More, Labrador, she was there for my first reading.
That's amazing.
And
it's a
wonderful thing that she's always been a part of my life.
Because I would imagine there were very few pictures, probably
yeah,
only a handful.
Yeah, she's the one that had it. And I kept those pictures all those years. And, I, of course, every member of my family does have a picture of my mother. Mm-hmm. I did it some years ago and sent them all for Christmas gift.
That's excellent.
Picture of her, yeah.
Good. So the book has been out since 2009?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So definitely getting a great response, and probably all across Canada, too?
Well, it's nationwide now from here across Canada, but True Newfoundland mostly is promoted there in the Lower North Shore, and, mm-hmm. and now I'm here doing that because my publisher is in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Okay.
And I'm here. If I can promote my book, it's great, and I can promote my second one at the same time.
Okay.
Again, my second one's going to be called My Journey. Now on this Sunday, is it? This Sunday, on May the 1st, I'm going to be at the Hut, the place.
Okay, the Hut in Lenoxville. So this Sunday, you'll be at the Hut. That's over on 300 St. Francis Street in Lenoxville. And what time?
It's going to be at 6 o'clock in the evening, I think.
So this
it's going
Sunday.
To be a pre-Mother Day
brunch?
Supper or brunch, something like
that. Okay, so this Sunday, that would be
May the 1st,
this
and
Sunday.
And the second time I'll be there at the same place because of the English-speaking community all mm-hmm. over there. I will be on the 21st.
Okay, so you're going to be
at that. Like a bazaar or something. It's going to be a holiday event.
Okay, so the Hut, everybody's welcome to come over to the brunch. You come and have the brunch. And then you're going to have a table, I guess, with your book on it this Sunday. That's mm-hmm. May 1st over at the Hut, 300 St. Francis Street. And then again, you're going back to the Hut
on the 21st.
Yeah. Okay, around in the afternoon?
It's going to be from 10 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be a holiday thing. People are going to be there for the bazaar.
Good. So around, what time did we say this Sunday?
This Sunday is around 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, okay. And the 21st will be like an all-day thing from 10 o'clock on. So definitely that's a place to get a copy of Broken Wings by Clarissa Smith. Excellent book. You won't regret it, that's for sure. It's definitely a keeper in. We all have to be aware of what's going on and, you know, just don't turn a blind eye because one person can make a difference and
absolutely.
Certainly a community can make a tremendous difference.
Mm.
Good. Now, if somebody else wants to get a copy of the book, can they get it on Amazon.com?
You actually can go on my own website. I have www.clarissasmith.ca, but also you can get it from the publisher in St. John's, DRC Publishing in St. John's.
Okay.
And on the back of the book, of course, the number is there. But also, while I'm here, anyone wanting a copy of my book now until the time that I appear mm-hmm. over there, they can call my niece, which I'm staying with at the moment. Her name is Daphne.
Okay.
And her number is, what's her number?
It'd be 819?
819-704-1010. And
well,
she, if I'm not there, she does have copies of my book.
Okay, so if somebody wants to get a copy while Clarissa is here, I just call her niece, Daphne, and the number is 819-704-1010.
That's
okay,
great.
Excellent. So, My Journey, you're working on that right now. Would you say you're about halfway through, or a little bit?
Well, I'm halfway through. I'm delayed a month now because it's difficult getting all the information I need. I need to get all the facts about the Bishop Mountain, the home mm-hmm. itself. I have to get all those facts before I can finish the book. But you know, it's coming. I would say that probably by the middle of July, it should be ready. I'm going to send it to the publisher now in the next couple of weeks and should be back. And hopefully I'm going to take a tour at that time all down mm-hmm. to the Lower North Shore and area in the Eastern Township.
Mm-hmm.
Also down Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and so on. So my whole summer is going to be running my boat.
Good for you. Good for you. And I hope definitely that it's helped to repair your spirit.
Oh,
and,
it has. Yeah.
Good for you. Definitely a survivor and definitely helping to heal yourself, too.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to say before we go, Clarissa?
Well, I think we probably covered it all.
Well, we definitely, definitely I enjoyed the book, and it's so important. It's so important for all of us to be aware of what's going on in our community and the children. Mm. They're dependent on everybody. You know.
That's right. Every child should be everyone else's responsibility in a sense, you know. Like
definitely.
If something is out there happening, and like I said, I'm very thankful that we had someone in our life to come to our rescue. And so I hope there's going to be someone out there for those people that need it, those children that's needed.
Definitely.
In their life as well.
You know? And for you, a happy ending, and we're so happy to hear that, too. Mm-hmm. So, again, you're going to be at the Hut this Sunday, May 1st, 6 o'clock, and pick up a copy of Broken Wings there from Clarissa. She'll be back on the 21st, and she's working on her second book, so we're definitely very excited to read that, too. Okay, well, thank you very much, and all the best to you.
Thank you, Maureen, for having me.